Hey guys, I'm Jordan Rowling, host and producer of Billboard News.
And I'm Gail Mitchell, Billboard's executive director of R&B and hip hop.
And this is In the Lead, a Billboard and Honda Stage podcast series where we talk to some of music's most influential female changemakers. In each episode, our guests will discuss their path to success, the obstacles they overcame along the way, and how they continue to pay it forward. Today, we're excited to be sitting down with Tawala Mae Austin, Executive Vice President of Philanthropy and Social Impact at Sony Music Group. Tawala Mae got her career started working with NBA legends like Magic Johnson, Dwayne Wade, and Alonzo Mourning before diving into music, where she's helped Rihanna, DJ Khaled, and a host of other artists make an impact by launching philanthropic initiatives. First of all, thank you for joining us, Tawala Mae.
Thank you guys for having me.
We got to ask you, how are you doing in light of everything that's going on in the world?
I am actually doing well. I have no complaints. I was able to switch jobs in the middle of a pandemic, which was a blessing. So I'm doing good. I'm home. I'm quarantining alone. Everything is good for me.
Cool. So what are you listening to these days in the wake of everything that's going on as we usher in a new year?
Oh my goodness. You know what's crazy is I'm actually just on Spotify and Tidal, and I love just kind of like going through their generated playlist of artists and songs and just listening to, you know, to new music. And then, you know, you also always go back to your classics. I love Tina Marie. I love old school R&B. So anything R&B, I'm always listening to anything R&B. Love the new Chloe and Halle right now. Love just everything. I think it's sometimes just very refreshing for me to be able to just turn on the music and escape and sit here and work, play it as loud as I want, as often as I want. So it's always a good escape for me. I have the Peloton, so I'm always on there, and they have like just amazing artists, and you're just like, what? How'd you guys get this? I remember this song sometimes, and you know, just exercising to that music and just songs that you grew up with has just been, you know, really, really refreshing.
More about you, Tawala Mae. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where are you from? You know, how did you get into the work that you're doing now?
Ooh, I was born in Lubbock, Texas. I don't think a lot of people know that. My mom packed up and left Texas when I was 6, and we moved to Los Angeles. Lived all over Westchester, Inglewood, South LA. So I've been all over the place, but raised here in Los Angeles, in South Central.
Well, so obviously now your work is with philanthropy. Were you doing that as a kid? Was that something that was always a part of your life?
I actually landed in philanthropy through volunteering. One of my good friends who Gail knows, Kawana Brown, was working with Magic Johnson at the time, and they had their big event, A Midsummer Night's Magic. And she asked me to come volunteer with the event for the weekend. And then, you know, 16 years later, I was working there at the company.
Okay, so talk a little bit about that at Magic Johnson, getting there, just so people understand. I don't know if they really understand, because you started out as handling typical administrative duties, then you're program coordinator, then So talk us through some of the steps so they'll understand.
Yeah, so started out volunteering for their A Midsummer Night's Magic event. Then they called me again later in the year to come in and answer the phones during the holidays. The receptionist was no longer there, so they needed someone to come in and answer the phones. And I went in and answered the phones, landed a job, you know, there. They asked me to stay. So I started out, to Gail's point, as the receptionist. And really just the receptionist, and I'm a busybody. So, you know, I'm around the office asking people what they need. Can I help? I started out really sort of managing their toy drives. That was the first time I traveled when I worked for Magic, and I was able to, execute the toy drives across the country in all of the markets where Magic Johnson had a Magic Johnson Theaters. At the time, it was about 5 or 6 different markets across the country. From there, just really getting into program management. So I started managing some of the programs that they had with their, with our HIV/AIDS initiatives. Our, at that time, we were just starting the scholarship program. Like Gail mentioned, from there, I really landed where I think I, my sweet spot was working with our corporate donors for the organization, working at the front desk, doing all the, you know, the guest list. And, you know, I was the person at the front door. And then, you know, also just really working with our sponsors and doing, working and activating their executions for their activations for the event. And I stayed there in that position. I think it was corporate relations for a number of years and working with our corporate donors and just getting, you know, retaining those sponsorships, bringing them back to the event. And I really just loved doing that sort of, you know, cause related marketing with them. But then really sort of watching these amazing activations come to life during that weekend of events that we had. And then from there, I moved to, I believe it was vice president, where I stayed for a number of years, again, still managing our corporate relations, managing our programs. Our scholarship program was in full bloom at that point. All of our HIV/AIDS initiatives were in full bloom at that point, as well as our technology centers across the country. And then from there was promoted in a meeting by Mr. Johnson and to president at that time. Our president had resigned and I was filling in for about a year and I was good. I was cool. I was comfortable. And, you know, he saw something in me that I didn't see and, you know, promoted me in the meeting. And I was like, okay, can we talk about this after the meeting? I think at that point is when I began to really sort of transition the organization and work a lot on the operations of the organization. It was at a time too where corporate sponsors were starting to decline. So we had to think about how do we sort of diversify our revenue streams. We were 90% corporate funded, so we weren't getting any private grants from any other foundations. We hadn't necessarily been focusing in on any private donors, you know, independent individual donors. So we needed to sort of look at a new model. And I think that's where, for me, where I made the biggest footprint with the organization is really sort of helping to diversify those revenues and bring some more structure to the operations of the organization.
I mean, I really need to like call out and point out, you went from receptionist to president. Like that's such an inspiring feat on its own. And I feel like a lot of people listening to this will probably take that and find inspiration in that. Like that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, you know, and it was just opportunity as, you know, as well and timing, you know, Magic Johnson was building his empire. He, you know, he had the Magic Johnson Theaters, the Starbucks relationship, you know, all, you know, he got into real estate development. And, you know, so it was a great sort of platform to really grow. I think, you know, as long as you were ready to work and hungry and took the initiative and, you know, you're able to learn quickly on your feet, you know, walking in the door, you know, with him in these meetings really sort of put you at the table and gave me an opportunity to climb fairly quickly, you know, given, you know, I was there 16, almost 17 years. So that's a pretty quick climb, but his company was growing rapidly at the time. So there was ample opportunity to grow within the company.
Well, I mean, he also had a record label.
Record label. Yes, Gail.
Wow.
Let me try to recount all of the you know, again, he made a footprint in a number of different, across a number of different industries.
Before we continue on, it's time for a quick word from our sponsor, Honda Stage. Honda Stage is where Honda's passion for music comes to life and where the industry's most exciting rising stars share their talent and stories of imagination and determination with the world. Head to billboard.com/HondaStage to check out more exciting content, including exclusive performances from music's hottest rising stars and new episodes of the In the Lead podcast.
So with all that in mind, Tuolumne, I just wanted to ask you as we move forward, what was the one philosophy about philanthropy or lesson that you learned from Magic that you've carried through?
He was committed to the community. He was, and he was unapologetic about supporting urban African-American Black communities. And that was his footprint across his business model. If you go back and take a look at the partnerships that he brought to the table, the theaters, you know, across the country, the fitness centers, Starbucks, Burger King, there was, you know, a number of different companies that he partnered with, and it was all about urban communities. And that was, you know, that was his motto. That was his footprint. That was his motto. That's what I learned. It's just really being committed to our communities, and really sort of providing opportunities on the foundation side and programming that supported those markets that he had businesses in.
So it's interesting to hear that something that started as a volunteer opportunity, would you say kind of turned into a passion for you?
Absolutely. A lot of people ask me, you know, how did you get into philanthropy? I grew into philanthropy. I don't think I realized the impact of it when I started with Urban. I was in my early 20s until a little bit later in life, and until I started to see the impact of providing, you know, opportunities for young youth of color to go to college, and the response to that and the excitement around that. And then hearing, you know, I'm in touch with some of the scholars now that were, you know, that were in that program, but just knowing that without the scholarship, their trajectory in life would be different than it is now. So that, you know, is something that I gravitated to. And I think once I came out of the execution of everything, so I was just working and just kind of realized, oh, wow, this is definitely something that I actually enjoy doing. I thought I really loved event planning, because that was, you know, being working with Magic, we had a number of fundraisers and events for years, and I was really good at it. But, you know, I think I enjoyed it because I knew what the outcome, I knew what the purpose of it was, and I knew what the outcome would be for the communities across the country that we were servicing.
Right. So you're having fun, but you're also, you know, doing good. And that's the main point.
Having fun and doing good. Yes.
So after working with Magic, you went on to work with Dwayne Wade and Alonzo Mourning. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So after I left Magic Johnson, I took some time and I was, you know, trying to determine what I wanted to do next. I thought I was going to take some time just to myself. I've been working pretty much since I was 16 years old. And Alonzo Mourning called, and, you know, we had worked closely with him in the past, obviously, on a number of fundraisers during, you know, All-Star Weekend and Super Bowl. I think it was Zoe Magic's pool tournament that we did at All-Star Weekend. And so we've gotten very close to the organization and the work that Alonzo is doing in Miami, in Overtown, through the Overtown Youth Center, and also with his wife, Tracy Mourning. So I took the job with him. He offered me a job. And, you know, I told him, you know, I had to think about it at first. And while I was thinking about it, that's when Trigill Wade, Dwayne Wade's sister, called me and Lisa Joseph and wanted me to assist them with their organization. So that was kind of my little independent time that I had. And I worked closely with them. And then during that time, I got the call from Alonzo. And I told him, you know, I was like, hey, I'm also working with, you know, Dwayne. I want to take this job, but I want to finish out my contract with Dwayne as well. So at one point I was working for both of them simultaneously. But I think, you know, that move to to Miami, because that was the first time that I really lived outside of Los Angeles. I went to high school here, went to college, Cal State Dominguez. So that was my first time moving across country to take this position with Alonzo Mourning. And it was an exciting, scary time, you know, for me, but I made the leap and, you know, moved to Miami. And I think in my Instagram post, I put, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. at that time, when I got to the organization, they had been dormant for about 6 months. And he needed me to, you know, help him come in and get the foundation back up, rebranded, and get it back to fully operating for, you know, because it had been dormant for about 6 months. So
then you talk about leaps. You make a next leap from sports and Magic and Alonzo and Dwayne Wade to the intersection of music and philanthropy. So how did that come about? Was that by chance? Is that networking? Is it word of mouth?
So I guess it was a combination of networking and by chance. I got a call from Roc Nation, from Jay Brown, actually, to start Rihanna's charity. She was on tour at the time, so there was a lot of time that kind of went by. And, you know, when she got off tour, we met. And during my time in I think Miami was a really difficult time for me. I battled a little bit with depression. I talked a little bit about the leap, you know, in terms of jumping from, you know, moving from LA to Miami, leaving kind of like my foundation here, my family, friends here. I really underestimated the impact that it would have on me, you know, moving across country. So when I did get the call from Roc Nation, it was an opportunity to come back to LA and work for this amazing person, you know, which was always also very exciting. But it was a difficult decision for me because Alonzo and Tracy Morning and those guys, they're so passionate about serving the community in Miami. I mean, I know you guys are familiar with their work that they're doing at the Overtown Youth Center and with Honeyshine. And Alonzo is just a real, like, he lives and breathes the Morning Family Foundation. He's the mayor, the unofficial mayor of that town. And, you know, so it was a really difficult, you know, it was a really, really, really hard decision for me. But, you know, and I had to really sort of step back and figure out what I wanted outside of money, of opportunity, of sort of career choices, and really figure out what I wanted personally, because that's what it came down to. I gravely missed my family. I'm really close to my sister and my nieces, as everybody knows. People think I have kids, but I don't. Those are my two nieces that are always on my socials and with me, and you know, so they're a really big part of my life, and just my foundation, my support group, you know, here. I think, you know, it was something that I also just missed, that I didn't necessarily, you know, have that foundational support group in Miami.
What time frame was that? Was that mid?
That was 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. Yep.
Thank you so much, first of all, for being open about talking about mental health struggles and talking about your depression. That's really important.
I didn't realize it while I was in it. I gained so much weight. I don't even want to tell you guys. My friend and Kawana Gill came to Miami to visit me, and she was like, "Oh no, this is not happening. What is going on? You are not yourself." I mean, like, I'm, you know, like a workout fanatic, and, you know, to see me in that space. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm thinking I'm happy, you know, like, It's an interesting journey. Can't really pinpoint what caused it, or, you know, I don't think it was one thing. I think it was a number of things. You don't realize you're in it. I had to climb out of it during my employment with Roc Nation. So I was back home and I had my support group and it, you know, it back with my family, and it, you know, I climbed out of it. But It's an interesting place. I can definitely, you know, see how, you know, you can sort of get intertwined and locked into this space of deep depression. I wasn't there in deep depression. I thought I was fine. I was still working and doing Tuolumne. But, you know, now that I think about it, there were moments, sometimes I didn't leave the house. I stayed home. I let my diet go. I didn't want to think about anything extra. And that was really out of character for me.
So, do you think Roc Nation and that job that helped kind of your healing?
I think it was a number of things. I think being back home helped. I think, you know, the work was the work. For me, the work is, you know, is, I don't want to just call it the work, but, you know, I always, you know, sort of jump in and, you know, am passionate about things. I believe I was a little stifled in the beginning. You know, just, you know, really kind of, that's when I really realized that I was still dealing with, you know, some thoughts and some things, and, you know, that I begin to kind of recognize now, right? Now I'm aware that I'm in this space. I also started running. I'm an avid runner. I've done 2 marathons and half dozen plus half marathons.
Good for you.
That really helped as well to get the weight off and to bring me back to myself. I think it was just, yeah, a number of things that really pulled me out of that.
Talk about Beyond Rihanna. Who else have you worked with there? Because you've done some great projects, launching We the Best Foundation in addition to Clara Lionel. So yeah, talk about that.
Beyond Miss Amazing Riri. Yes, I launched... I also worked even before I launched DJ Khaled's We the Best Foundation. I worked very closely with Big Sean and the Sean Anderson Foundation and his amazing mom, Myra Anderson, at Roc Nation, the philanthropy department. We, you know, really sort of work with our artists and clients to help them, you know, advance their philanthropic footprint. So, you know, a number of things from, you know, starting the foundations and running and operating charities to advising, consulting, fundraising. There's a number of events down to, you know, executing football camps and baseball camps, you know, for our sports clients. So I had an opportunity really to work across the roster. I was responsible initially, and then after, you know, it really sort of opened up later, but responsible for pretty much everything West Coast. So music and sports, you know, at the same time. So got a chance to work with Big Sean, DJ Khaled, launched the DJ Khaled Foundation, which was also managed and operated by Roc Nation. Worked really closely with Todd Gurley and his team. And launched their foundation along with Todd and his brother and Jamie and his a childhood friend of his, and launched their charity. I got an opportunity to work really closely with Mariah Carey and administering her board seat at Fresh Air Fund. She's a longtime 20-year plus board member, you know, for Fresh Air Fund. And just, you know, really sort of managing her appearances and her continued sort of involvement with Camp Mariah. I work closely with Justice Winslow, a number of good, you know, just amazing talent across the board on the Roc Nation roster.
Is there a particular project in general that you were like super proud of while you were at Roc Nation?
Oh my gosh. I think I was really excited in my, you know, before I left Roc Nation, I really got a chance to really work closely with a lot of their social justice work and a lot of the work that is that you see now with supporting you know, families that, you know, have been impacted by police brutality, really working closely with the NFL project and a lot of work that they are doing now. I think it was really just that social justice work, and when we were, you know, they responded a lot and just really quietly, like no one really knew that, you know, that, you know, they were supporting these families that that were impacted by police brutality and bringing sort of aid to them, setting them up with amazing, you know, legal teams, supporting their families, you know, with just expenses, paying for funeral services. You know, we, you know, were able to engage a lot of the artists with you know, support, depending on what market, unfortunately, that you have to even think about the model, but, you know, depending on what market, a lot of the artists and athletes, you know, were engaged in supporting these families across the country. I really worked closely with a lot of the work that they were doing around Parchman Prison. I think that that work, that social justice work, and, you know, sort of being entrenched in talking to these families, you know, that have lost their loved ones, and figuring out how we could support them, and, you know, and bringing in the Lee Merritts and the Ben Crumps of the world to jump on these legal teams. I think, you know, that work is, in addition to all the great people that I've been able to do and the work that their foundations are doing in the communities that they're in, that work was really sort of was eye-opening, and just in terms of, you know, the impact that it had with these families that were extremely grateful for us coming to their aid.
Well, speaking of the artists, what do you find most rewarding about working with them as they create and develop their various initiatives?
You know, I've been blessed to work for people that genuinely care. You know, I think obviously we know about, you know, Magic Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, who has, like, you know, this history of just community service. Rihanna is just passionate. I mean, she's been doing philanthropy since she was 16, since she first got into the industry. And she was very clear about, you know, what she wanted to do with her foundation and supporting her hometown of Barbados, and education is really big for her. So I think it's just that when you see that they're genuinely passionate, I think a lot of people, there's, you know, a lot of stereotypes about celebrity philanthropy, that they're doing it for other reasons other than, you know, the purpose of giving. And that's not true. You know, it hasn't been, you know, the story in my case, as someone who's worked in the industry for a long time. And every artist, I mean, when they're starting these foundations, they're putting up their own money. They're, you know, they're really committed to these causes that they're passionate about. So I've been blessed to really be in front of people who want to give, who care, who call me. You know, I'm not calling them when something happens. Rihanna's calling, you know, DJ Khaled is calling, we have to do this. Big Sean, what are we doing? You know, like, you know, Todd and Justice Winslow, all these individuals are calling, what are we doing? How do we help? How can I get involved? So for me, that passion, it's really what stands out. And, you know, like I said, I've been blessed to work for, you know, for people that really genuinely want to give.
And just to clarify, Rihanna's foundation is the Clara Lynell Foundation.
Yes, the Clara Lynell Foundation. It's named after her grandmother and her grandfather. So Clara was her grandmother, who passed away of cancer, and is really sort of the inspiration for starting her foundation. One of the inspirations, or I would venture to say the main inspiration, and Lynell is her grandfather.
And then after you spend, what, 7 years at Roc Nation, then you made that jump last year in 2020 to Sony, and now you're the executive vice president of philanthropy and social impact. Can you talk about, like, why was that the right time for you to leave Roc Nation and make that move?
You know, I think for me, it was the right time. It was more of a personal, you know, decision. Right before I left Roc Nation, Desiree offered me a position, you know, to come and relocate to New York. And, you know, I was excited about it. And, you know, then the pandemic hit, and you're hunkered down at home. And the Sony position came about. It was a leadership position, an opportunity for me to sort of really kind of step out and really sort of work for a corporation that, you know, that's passionate about, you know, giving. And as the EVP, it put me, you know, in a leadership position as a Black woman. And it was back here in LA. So, you know, that's why, you know, I made the decision to really jump. It felt good. It felt authentic. Got the call from John Platt, you know, who is an amazing, you know, person as well. I found out that they had been, you know, searching even, you know, prior to the pandemic, and hadn't necessarily found that right person who sort of had the skill set and the experience on the operations side and the philanthropic side, you know, as well as working sort of you know, in the industry of entertainment and sports and working with high profile individuals. So it just, it felt really good to me. And I said yes, and you know, and here we are.
Between the pandemic, the systemic bias, you know, the whole racial equity, diversity, inclusion, etc. So how has that reshaped your focus and added new meaning and significance to the work you do on the philanthropic side?
You know, even at Roc Nation, we've, you know, we, the social justice and, you know, this, the police brutality and this work started there around social justice. And, you know, and being able to come here to Sony to work with them to sort of advance their, you know, humanitarian effort. It's a newly created position. That was another, you know, another reason. So I got a, you know, I get an opportunity to really blaze my own trail and, you know, and really set the standard for what the philanthropy is within this amazing company, and being able to come in and you know, immediately start to work with amazing organizations and that are doing civic engagement and social justice work on the ground with these grassroots organizations, and being able to make a impact and sort of start to create a footprint for the company is exciting and something that I'm, you know, looking forward to digging in. I've been here, 6 months now? I think week two. It's interesting in starting during a pandemic. Everything has been Zoom calls. I've met very few people in person.
Isn't that just weird?
That's different, yeah.
Yes, it is different. I think I've had a few meetings with my boss, but everything else has been on Teams, Zoom calls. So that, you know, that was a little crazy. And then starting during election year, this historic election year, you know, that we had in this global pandemic. Week two, when I started, I started working on the Your Voice, Your Power, Your Vote campaign. So they were like, huh, here you go. Given like the everything that this election meant, and, you know, and putting this campaign together. But it was a great way to learn the company, navigate the company, like on the spot, you know, definitely drinking from the fire hose. And, you know, but launching that campaign, which was, you know, a really successful campaign for Sony Music Group. We, you know, we had 9, you know, different community partners. We had over 80 artists, you know, participate in the campaign. We were able to financially support a number of voter organizations and create awareness about, you know, voter education and getting out to vote. We like to think we had a small little tiny dent in, you know, and the outcome of this historic election.
So Tuolumne, who are some of the women that have been influential, I can't talk, on your career journey? And what are you doing paying it forward? Because I know that that's something that's very passionate for you as well.
Outside of you, Gail, let me say, Kawana Brown, which you know, Kawana Gail, she's the COO of Magic Johnson Enterprises. She's been a part of my life. We a lot of people don't know we grew up together. Adore her. We've been able to work together and remain, you know, really close friends. Another person or persons, Cookie Johnson, you know, was also very influential in my career. I worked very closely with her with the Magic Johnson Foundation. She's, you know, was on the board, obviously. I worked with her when she launched her jean line, CJ by Cookie Johnson. I still have those jeans. Tracy Morning, when I was in Miami, was very influential and in really helping me get, you know, acclimated, and she's, you know, obviously on the board for the Morning Family Foundation and with her Honey Shine group. In the philanthropic side, Susan Batten, who is the president of a group organization called the Association of Black Foundation Executives, and she really, 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 you know, ushered me into the traditional side of philanthropy, into that space. And another lady in the philanthropy space, Judy Belk, who is at the California Wellness Foundation, very instrumental in my career. Latoya Randall, who's with the Casey Family Foundation programs, all these ladies on the nonprofit side, these ladies in the philanthropic space and the foundation world, they are titans in their own right in terms of women, Black women in philanthropy. So they have been very instrumental. And of course, Desiree Perez at Roc Nation was very instrumental in my career during my tenure at Roc Nation. And now that I'm at Sony, Sylvia Rohn, of course, you know, we connected and we've met a few times, and you know, she's, you know, been a champion for me getting to the company and internally, and so I'm just super excited to really learn from her. Music is new, to your point, Gail, to me, although I've been in entertainment, you know, and I got a taste of it at Roc, you know obviously, but you know, have never been inside of a label. I've always said I work for these really high profile individuals, small companies, you know, and now I'm at a really high profile company, a larger company, like your Magic Johnson's and your Sony's. Like, these are, you know, from a company perspective, or, you know, on two different spectrums, but, you know, as it relates to visibility and awareness, you know, they measure up, you know, equally. So, you know, there's a number of ladies at Sony. You know, Sylvia's one. A number of them that's been on the Billboard Women in Music list. Your Carolyn Williams, Felicia Fant. We just hired Tiffany Warren in diversity and inclusion. I'm really excited about working with her. Julie Swidler, who else? Alicia, who at Sony ATV, Alicia Felix Hewley, Jasmine, who's another Black woman in the HR space, a leader, Jasmine Weidman at Sony. Who else? Melissa Thomas, who is another Black woman. She's on the list as well, you know, heading up marketing. So these ladies are leaders at the company, which is also amazing. So I'm just really, really, really looking forward to really getting to know them even better and learning from them and learning this industry from them.
The second part of the question, paying it forward. I know you sit on a couple of boards as well.
Yeah, so I've sat on several boards. Board queen throughout. I'm currently only on the board at my alma mater, Cal State Dominguez, on the board there, on their philanthropic board. But, you know, definitely just working with, I love mentoring young girls, and that, you know, have done that just personally, you know, in my own time, you know, even with my own family and my goddaughters, and, you know, definitely boards, paying it forward. And, you know, my job is to pay it forward, you know.
Right.
You know, it's so funny when everyone's like, you want to make a donation, you know, you're at the grocery store. I'm like, I make a donation. My life is a donation.
My time and my energy.
Yeah. I think, you know, if I had to carve out, you know, some things, it would be education and young girls.
Well, we always like to end the episode by kind of you giving some advice. So think of this like the Tuolumne advice column. So I'm going to ask, you know, what advice do you have for young women who would like to follow kind of in your career footsteps?
It was, you know, definitely hard work. But it was work that I didn't mind doing. It was work that I enjoyed. So, you know, I think just, you know, if it's just, you know, make sure you want to be, you find a career that you want to be in. You find a career that you love. Because I have had, you know, jobs that I didn't, it was just like, kind of like, you're a robot. You go in, you're looking at the clock, you clock out. You know, and before I got to Magic Johnson, you know, you have these little, you know, like your little odd jobs, you know, like, and it wasn't until I got there where I didn't mind falling asleep, you know, with my phone in my hand or answering the calls or, you know, first one to volunteer to do the job, no matter, you know, what it was. Like, even, you know, with Magic Johnson, it was like, even though I was a president, if you need a glass of water, I'm going to get the glass of water. You have to, you know, make sure that you want to do the work, and but that you're only going to want to do the work if you're passionate about it. So, you know, I would just say, just find something that you're passionate about. And don't settle until you land in your passion.
And I mean, I'd say stay humble. You said getting a glass of water, so and stay humble.
Look, it's a rural thing. It's, yeah. And I was still, if my boss wanted me a glass of water, I have no, I wouldn't need a glass of water. No problem. It's so funny because I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, especially like early on, you know, when I was, you know, really, I think like vice president, president of Magic Johnson Foundation, we would walk into meetings together and they would automatically assume I was his assistant. If he needed something, I'm, you know, getting him settled, making sure he knows people, you know, if he needs a glass of water, I'll go get the glass of water. And then I come down and sit down at the table. I'm starting the meeting. So they're like, oh, wait, no, I'm not the assistant.
You're like, I'm a boss.
I'm in charge. Yeah.
And then lastly, what advice would you give your younger self?
Take time for yourself. I think, you know, I was, you know, definitely have been the person who's like, career, career, work, 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 work. And then I look up, I'm like, oh, wait. Some things, you know, you get kind of, that's a whole nother conversation. So yeah, I would say definitely take time for self, enjoy the moment, live in the moment. I think about some of the experiences that I've had and opportunities and places I've been able to go, and it was a dream. And, you know, and you have to enjoy it while you can. And it's a real thing, because I think we're so busy just trying to make sure that we're on top of it. And, you know, early on when I started my career, there wasn't, you know, any social media, but now people are so consumed with capturing the moment versus being in the moment.
I love that. Stay mindful.
Yeah, stay mindful. Exactly.
So Tuolumne, you talk about enjoy what you want to do. We've enjoyed chatting with you.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Gail. Good seeing you guys.
Thank you so much.